This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلوات الله وسلامه على نبيه الكريم عليه أفضل الصلاة وأتم التسليم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. My brothers, my sisters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. So we continue today, insha'Allah ta'ala, with Surah Al-Kahf, as we were doing for the last few weeks now. And we reached up to verse number 27 of the surah. So we're going to be covering verse number 27 until the end of verse number 31 for today, inshallah. So verse number 27 till the end of 31 of Surah Al-Kahf. Before we get into it, as we wait for people to log in, alhamdulillah, you know, today we had 5 Jumu'ah prayers at our masjid here in Milton at the Islamic Community Center of Milton, and it was very good, very successful, alhamdulillah. We were doing 4 Jumu'ah prayers the previous weeks, and this week we decided to increase to 5 and to see how it would be, and it worked out really well, alhamdulillah. There's always going to be struggles, always going to be challenges, but, you know, the important thing is that the community sticks together and we work together to try and achieve greater things, inshallah. We are also, just to keep you informed, we are also, you know, in discussions as to how we're going to be conducting the Eid prayers, so when we're going to be doing it. And we're also hoping that within Halton region, we, you know, get bumped up to phase 3, inshallah. That would be very helpful for every single one of us. No, there's you know, hardships and challenges. And last Eid, we didn't even have an Eid prayer in the masjid, right? We were at home. You know, we ended up doing the live khutbah from the masjid, but we didn't have an actual prayer here. So this year, or this time, this Eid, alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala slowly, you know, opening things up for us and making things, you know, go back to normal. We do need to be patient with it. I know a lot of us want to quickly rush into getting back to the regular lifestyle and, you know, how things used to be. You know, we're just going to have to wait things out a little bit and be patient with it. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make things easier for us as time goes on, inshallah. So a little bit of patience, and we learn patience in the Quran, right? We all know the importance of patience. We all know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, grants us ease through the patience that we express and show in our lives. And therefore, you know, the that we are patient, the more we are going to be rewarded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the more goodness we will get in the hereafter. But also, you know, it's something that's for us and training for us here in this world. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make Eid a beautiful time for us this this year and this you know, coming Al-Adha, inshallah, and to make it easier for us to see many of our family and loved ones, inshallah ta'ala. All right, so we're going to get right into it, inshallah. We do have quite a few people on Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, and Facebook. So a number of different channels there. And like we said, for those who were a little bit late logging in, we are going to be doing verses number 27 until the end of 31 of Surah Al-Kahf. Okay, and again, the reason why, one of the reasons why we're learning this surah on the Friday evenings is because it's an encouragement for us to learn some of what the surah means and some of the lessons within it, so that we can also, you know, try to read it every single Friday. We took the benefits of Surah Al-Kahf, you know, when we recite it one Friday, and then another Friday and another Friday. In between the two Fridays, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala places Nur in that week. So it's an encouragement for us next week to also recite it if we haven't already. And there's still some time for us to recite Surah Al-Kahf before the end of this Friday, okay? Before Maghrib today. All right, let's jump right into it.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم واتل ما أوحي إليك من كتاب ربك لا مبدل لكلماته ولن تجد ولن تجد من دونه ملتحدا واصبر نفسك مع الذين يدعون ربهم بالغداة والعشي يريدون وجهه لا ولا تعد عيناك عنهم تريد زينة الحياة الدنيا ولا تطع من أغفلنا قلبه عن ذكرنا واتبع هواه وكان أمره فرطا.
So in verse number 27 and 28, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows us here, وَاتْلُ مَا أُوحِيَ إِلَيْكَ مِنْ كِتَابِ رَبِّكَ, and recite what has been revealed to you, O Muhammad, of your Lord's book. So recite from the Qur'an that was revealed to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and that of course is a divine book, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reaffirms here in this ayah, you know, that it was revealed to him from Allah. It's the Lord's book. So it is a divine book. It is one that needs to be respected. And of course, we see that this is the case around the world. Alhamdulillah. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says,
La mubaddila li kalimati.
None can change his words. So whatever has been revealed within the Quran and whatever is contained within the Quran is the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No one can change it. People could try to. And people say, well, what do you mean I can't change it? So here, let me just change it. But just going and taking a page and changing the words around doesn't do anything. You know, people have tried to change the Quran or reword it and restructure it. And this is something that's happened in history. But people were unsuccessful because the Quran itself is not just preserved in a book format. It's preserved in the hearts. It's preserved in the mind. It's preserved in the actions of the believers. And when Aisha radiallahu anha explained, or described the personality of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, she said, Aisha radiallahu anha said, كان خلقه القرآن, that his behavior, his manners, his, you know, his way of conduct, the characteristics of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam were that of the Qur'an. So the Qur'an comes out in our lives. Like, we speak according to the Qur'an. We say things that are right and true and honest and fair based on what we learn from within the Qur'an. We memorize it, and it's not within one or two people. Many people have memorized the Qur'an. Millions of people around the world have memorized the Qur'an. And it's not easily changeable. So you can't just go to a book and change some words and move some words around on a page and expect it to be changed. In order to change something in history and society, a lot of work, a lot of hard work and dedication is needed. And of course, this is talking, you know, going back to the time when the Quraysh, we're not talking about 2020 right now, we're talking about, you know, the time of the Quraysh, the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. For them to try and change it was a lot easier than it is today. The longer the amount of time that passes from the time that it was revealed, the more difficult it becomes to change it. Some people might think it becomes easier, but in fact it becomes more difficult because more and more and more people learn it, more and more and more people understand it, and the more amounts of people also are going to implement it in their lives. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَا مُبَدِّلَ لِكَلِمَاتِ وَلَنْ تَجِدَ مِنْ دُونِهِ مُلْتَحَدًا, and none will you find as a refuge other than him, as in no helper or supporter other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yeah, we can find, peace, or we could find comfort, I could say, temporary comforts, temporary pleasures in other people or in other things. But ultimately, those things run out. Human beings die, or they move, or they leave, and they go somewhere else. Or they grow up, or they become busy with something else, right? A lot of the time you look at a child or someone who's young and then they grow up. So they finish high school and then they move on to college or university. You don't see them anymore, right? You don't interact with your friends from elementary school once you reach high school. Or once you leave high school, you don't really interact with your friends so much anymore, especially those that were with you in elementary school. You know, you've grown older, you've changed, you've gone on, you've moved on in life, and you start doing other things. And I can tell you there's very, very few friends from high school that I'm still in contact with. And most of that contact is really through my social media, platforms. We stay in touch that way. And it's maybe once or twice a year or a few times throughout the year. at the most. But that's it, right? And that's because we've all grown up and we've gone on to other things. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows us here, وَلَن تَجِدَ مِن دُونِهِ مُلْتَحَدًا. We will not find comfort. We will not find, you know, help, true assistance in anyone or anything other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay? That doesn't mean that we can't find assistance through, for example, if someone is sick and they go to a doctor and they get some medicine and alhamdulillah, they're cured. That doesn't mean that a person will never do that and that doesn't exist. No, what it means is the cure comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as well, right? The knowledge comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as the doctor has. The ability to actually go to the doctor and communicate and to be heard and listened to and to have x-rays done and analysis done and evaluations and so on and so forth, all of that comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So without the help of Allah, you know, nothing really is in our capacity as human beings. He then says, وَاصْبِرْ نَفْسَكَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ يَدْعُونَ رَبَّهُمْ بِالْغَدَاتِ وَالْعَشِيِّ يُرِيدُونَ وَجْهَهُ. And keep yourself patiently with those who call on their Lord morning and afternoon, seeking his face. يُرِيدُونَ وَجْهَهُ. Remember, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam this, right? So he is advising his Prophet and Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and keep yourself patiently with those who call on their Lord. You know, it's very easy for us to be encouraged or to be, I should say, enticed to spend time with or to be around those who have wealth or who have status or who have a position in society. It's very easy for us to be more inclined towards that and to leave off those who maybe have less or those who are simply dedicating themselves in a simple format or a simple way to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so Allah says to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, keep yourself patiently with those who call on their Lord morning and afternoon. Sit with those who remember Allah. Those who say La ilaha illallah, those who praise Allah Azza wa Jal, those who glorify Him. Sit with those who declare the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, His greatness, and call on Him in dua, seeking help and assistance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, morning and night, right? The people who are constantly connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are the people that we need to be connected to. And those are the people who will help us through hardships and difficulties, even when they are not there themselves. Because there are lessons that we learn from them that help us and assist us to get through those difficult times and moments in life. There were times during the early years of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam where many of the Sahaba were, poor and did not have much. And that doesn't mean that they were always poor people, but because of the circumstances and the hardships and the difficulties that they went through with the Quraysh, with the Mushrikun, you know, they left behind their wealth, they left behind their families, they left behind their even their lineage, right? Because even that at times was not something that they could use to show some sort of power and status, right? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reminding the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam of the importance of being with those who constantly are remembering Allah azza wa jal. وَلَا تَعْدُ عَيْنَكَ عَنْهُمْ تُرِيدُ زِينَةَ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. And then he tells the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and don't let your eyes overlook them. Like, don't look at them and be like, oh, okay, these are the poor ones. Let me go chill with the cool guys, right? Let me go chill with the cool girls. Let me go and do, things with people who society accepts and who society likes. Just because people are known and recognized in society doesn't mean that they will be accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Remember the famous hadith in Sahih al-Bukhari about the first people that will be thrown in Jahannam. And in it is mentioned the Qari, the person who recites the Qur'an, the Alim, the one who's knowledgeable, who people look up to, who people come to for advice, who recites the Qur'an beautifully and so on and so forth. And they will be questioned. And they say, you know, I did this for you, right? They did it for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, كَذَبْت. You lied. You're lying, right? You didn't do it because of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You did it because of the people, because you wanted to seek the attention of the people. You wanted to become famous amongst them. You wanted to become known and recognized among those people. And you wanted to be part of their crew. You wanted to be one of them, right? And so that's like the person who's a leader, an example, right? There's also the person who, sacrificed a lot, including their life. They did it for what? For Allah? Or they did it for some other worldly, gain or benefit. And that's where my brothers and sisters, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is being told by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even though people might be looking up to certain people, don't spend your time with them. Don't, look up to them. Don't let your eyes overlook the poor and those who are worshipping Allah regularly, those who desiring the pomp and glitter of the life of the world, right? Turidu zinatil hayatid dunya. They're desiring, status. They're desiring lots of wealth. They're desiring to show off in front of others, and there's nothing wrong with having a lot of wealth in Islam. A lot of the time people misunderstand this and they think, oh, Muslims are supposed to be poor. No, Muslims are supposed to be powerful and wealthy, right? We're supposed to, be able to achieve certain things. We should see people on the streets and we take them out of poverty, not just bring them a meal. We don't just take them food or a meal. We take them out of poverty entirely. That's supposed to be how the believer is. One who releases the shackles of poverty amongst the entire neighborhood, the entire community. That is the believer. People look up to us where we're like, amazed by the believer. And they do it not seeking praise or not seeking the attention of the people. Earlier I posted something on social media about our volunteers. And I'm not just talking about volunteers here at the masjid. I'm talking about volunteers in general. I have traveled this world and lectured in many different countries. And I always, whenever I finish the lecture or conference and we sit down with the volunteers, almost every single time I remind them that it isn't the person who the camera is focusing on. It's the person who's holding the camera, who's getting lots of rewards. It's the person who made the phone call and the person who sent the email and the person who paid for the plane ticket and the person who's paying for the live streaming and the person who is paying for the software and paying for the, for example, in the modern world that we're living in now with the live stream, the person who's paying for the devices and the person who's paying for the internet and the person who's paying for the education and the person who's, it's not just paying, it's the person who's dedicating their time to make it a reality. The person who is sacrificing their time away from family, for example, volunteers giving up their family time and doing things to try and better society, to bring deen, to bring conferences, to bring lectures, to bring knowledge, to bring a change in their society. A lot of the time you put someone in front and that person will speak to the masses and people will say, mashallah, that was amazing. Whatever he said, whatever she said, that's the way to be. But the reality is there's hundreds of people who work behind the scenes to make that one event possible. Those people, we know them as volunteers, right? I like to call them team members, or, I like to call them our family, because they are the people who recognize the importance and the value of sacrifice. Sacrificing their time, sacrificing their energy, sacrificing their sleep, their family, right? Staying away from family, sometimes for hours or for days on end to bring about change in their communities. Those are the people, the real struggle is made by those people. For months, sometimes it takes 6 months to plan a conference, right? And then you fly in a speaker, a sheikh, an imam, a sheikha, right? A scholar, male or female, who comes and delivers this lecture and everyone is amazed by it and they say, oh, my life was changed because of your lecture. But in reality, the people who worked really hard for 6 months to bring that person over to do the lecture, imagine how much reward that they are banking. Imagine how much reward they're getting from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so I posted something earlier today, click like to it and share it. I encourage people to share something good. If you feel that there's something good in it, share it. And the reason why I'm asking you to share it is not because I want more likes on that post, right? I can get lots of likes by, it's so easy to get lots of likes on social media. If you post what people want, you'll get likes. And if you post what people don't like, you'll get likes, right? Because, you know, you do what the masses want from you and they'll like it. That's not the point. The point is share it with others, because sometimes people who volunteer, who give their time, their energy, their sweat, their, you know, blood, sweat, and tears, he said, for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they want to go unrecognized. But sometimes we don't treat them in the right ways, right? Sometimes we don't honor them. We don't recognize that these are the workers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They are the ones who are bringing about goodness. They're the ones who are giving everything that they have. And time is one of the most valuable things that we have, right? They're doing all of that for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so my brothers and sisters, you know, when it comes to volunteering, don't just say something nice about the volunteer. Become a volunteer. Become an active community member. Become someone who, even standing outside in the heat on a Friday at Jumu'ah, who's saying, you know, signaling to someone like this to bring their car closer and to drive through the parking lot or to go this way or go that way, that hand signal is an act of ibadah. You're doing it to facilitate a person coming to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's absolutely amazing. You know, how many times do we like this? How many times do we swipe on our phones, right? How many times do we put at something on our screens? How many times do we swipe and type and press buttons and do things, hand signals that may be considered sins? Right? We might be doing something that is wrong or haram. We could change that to be something that's beneficial for us. So become an active member of your community. Assist others. You know, I was telling someone today, earlier today, I want to see fresh faces. I want to see new people coming in as volunteers. And it's not because the current volunteers we have are doing a bad job. Not at all. They're doing a great job. I want to see more people benefiting from the rewards. I want to see more people eager and anxious to become an active member in the community. And so when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and don't let your eyes overlook them, the people that are there sacrificing, you know, they're not struggling hard to get lots of wealth in this world, struggling hard to get even more wealth in the hereafter. Those are the people we shouldn't overlook. Those are the people we need to befriend. Those are the people that we need to take care of and look after and call. You know, how many of our community members do you know and do I know that are regulars in our masjid, for example, or regulars in helping out, or regulars in calling the adhan, or regulars in, you know, vacuuming the carpet, or just being there, just coming to a prayer regularly. And we haven't seen them in months. How many times have we messaged and said, hey, assalamu alaikum, it's been 4 months since this pandemic, 5 months, I haven't seen you. I hope everything's okay. Not just our circle of friends. Don't just live in that bubble that, you know, we're being told to stick to for our own, you know, good. But think outside of that box, outside of that circle, outside of that bubble. Where are those friends? Where are those people? You know, the other day, our muezzin, one of the brothers who calls the adhan in the masjid, he was actually abroad. He was, you know, traveling and got stuck abroad for a number of months because of the pandemic. And he finally returned and he's going through, you know, quarantine right now. We haven't seen him yet. It's been many months and, you know, inshallah, within I think the next few days, the 2 week quarantine phase will be over for him and he'll come to the masjid on Sunday, he was saying. You know, I sent him a message. I said, Alhamdulillah, I'm glad I heard you came back. I hope you're doing well. I hope everything is good and let me know if you need anything. And I really felt that, you know, I should have messaged him a long time ago. I'm too late. As much as it seems like it's a good deed, I'm too late. Someone like that probably expected me to reach out to them a long time ago, and I should have. And there's a billion and one excuses that I can give. But at the end of the day, another Muslim brother, another Muslim sister, another Muslim is expecting their Muslim brothers and sisters to look after them. Not because of wealth, not because of status, not because of anything, you know, that's out there in the world or anything that they might have, but because they're a Muslim. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam teaches us that in the final sermon, right? To look after each other. And Allah ta'ala we'll learn about the sermon very soon because we're getting into the 10 days of Dhul Hijj. So he tells the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَلَا تَعْدُ عَيْنَا عَنْهُمْ تُرِيدُ زِينَةَ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا, desiring the pomp and the glitter of the life of this world. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma said, this means do not favor others over them. Those who worship Allah day and night, those who are connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, don't favor others over them. No matter how poor and how low they are in society, if they are connected to Allah, favor them over anyone else. As in, hold them high in honor and status because you know and you recognize and you feel that that person or those people are connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he says, do not favor others over them, meaning do not seek the people of nobility and wealth instead of them. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَا تُطِعْ مَنْ أَغْفَلْنَا قَلْبَهُ عَنْ ذِكْرِنَا, and do not obey him whose heart we have made heedless of our remembrance. There are people who have abandoned Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showing us here those who are distracted by this world, right? Those who are too focused on themselves and what this world has to offer, and they have abandoned Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's way. And do not obey them. And this is important, my brothers and sisters, dealing with quite a few cases of people's families recently where, you know, either the mother or the father has sort of abandoned Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and given up on fulfilling the command of Allah, not praying, not fasting, not paying zakah, you know, committing major, major sins. Yet, as a family unit, they still stick together. Say, oh, this is better for me. Really, if a person is married to someone who has abandoned Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you really need to get some help. You really need to get some help. And that person in your family needs to get some help as well. And reach out, ask for help. There's a lot of people out there that will help in your communities, in your locality, wherever you live. Ask, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showing us here, you know, be careful of those whose hearts have been taken away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because they themselves don't want to be close to Allah. وَكَانَ أَمْرُهُ فُرُطًا, and whose affair or their deeds have been lost, meaning their actions and their deeds are a foolish waste of their time, right? It's just pointless because they've left or abandoned Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then verse number 29, وَقُلِ الْحَقُّ مِنْ رَبِّكُمْ فَمَنْ شَاءَ فَلْيُؤْمِنْ وَمَنْ شَاءَ فَلْيَكْفُرْ إِنَّا أَعْتَدْنَا لِلظَّالِمِينَ نَارًا أَحَاطَ بِهِمْ سُرَادِقُهَا وَإِنْ يَسْتَغِيثُوا يُغَاثُوا بِمَاءٍ كَذْلِ يَشْوِي الْوُجُوهِ بِئْسَ الشَّرَابُ بِئْسَ الشَّرَابُ وَسَاءَتْ مُرْتَفَقًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَقُلِ الْحَقُّ مِنْ رَبِّكُمْ, and say, he's telling the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and say, وَقُلِ الْحَقُّ, and say, the truth, min rabbikum, is from your Lord. Who's not my Lord. He's not telling the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, don't tell them, you know, he's not saying to Allah, Allah is not saying to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that the truth is from my Lord. He's saying, and tell them, the truth is from your Lord, your creator, your provider, your sustainer, the one who took care of you, the one who takes care of you, the one who provides you, the one who, you know, grants everything that you need of this world. You need water to survive, you have water, you need food to survive, you have lots of awesome food, right? Whatever it is that we need in this life, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants to us. And so he says, وَقُلِ الْحَقُّ مِنْ رَبِّكُمْ, and say to them, The truth is from your Lord. Then whosoever wills, let him believe. And whosoever wills, let him disbelieve. So say to them, قُلِ الْحَقُّ مِنْ رَبِّكُمْ, the truth from your Lord. You follow it. Alhamdulillah. You don't follow it, you don't follow it. So he says, فَمَنْ شَاءَ فَلْيُؤْمِنْ, and whosoever wills, let him believe. And whosoever wills, let him disbelieve. وَمَنْ شَاءَ فَلْيَكْفُرْ. And this is sort of a threat from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's not a threat from us as believers. It's a threat from Allah to all of us as human beings. We've been created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's warning us, right? He's reminding us. He's shaking us up, trying to remind us. You need to follow what is right. You need to do what's right. You know, as human beings, they want to do this. Let's go and do it. Tomorrow we want to do that. Let's go and do that. As long as we're following and doing what's within the realm of what Allah has permitted, then that's great. But if we're just going and doing whatever we want, how we feel, and here, inna a'tadna, very prepared, lil-zalimina, for the wrongdoers, those who disbelieve in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, His messengers, and so on and so forth, naran ahata bihim suradiquha. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that He prepared a fire whose walls will be exposed. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect every single one of us. Ameen. And if they ask for something to drink, remember the people of Jannah, if they ask for something to drink, they will be granted water, right? يُغَاثُ بِمَا, granted water like al-muhl. Yes, al-wujuh. What is al-muhl? It is a thick kind of water, similar to oil, for example. Very thick. Some of the scholars give explanations for it. I'll leave that out right now because I know we have some children watching. But, you know, it's a very thick, hot drink to drink. And it's so thick. He says, "Yashwil wujuh." It will scald their faces, right? When they bring it closer. This is why we say, "La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah." Right? There is no power and no might except with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, something that you bring close to your face that is so hot that it will, you know, burn and melt the skin on our faces. Or on the faces of those who will be in Jahannam. I shouldn't say our faces, because we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect every single one of us from that. I mean, but we also need to be reminded, inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. We will turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We all belong to Allah, and to Him we shall return. And so don't forget the fact that Jahannam exists. And those who disobey Allah and distance themselves from Allah, whose deeds are useless and pointless, and they're just doing whatever they want to do in life, there will be a day they will be surrounded by the fire. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, when they become thirsty, of course, you know, you're sitting in front of a fire at a camp, you become thirsty, right? Or if it's really hot outside on a hot day, you become thirsty. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, when they ask for something to drink, when they ask for water, they will be given muhl, al-muhl, which is that thick substance that is so hot and boiling that when brought close, you know, will burn the skin on their face. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect all of us. Ameen. Bi'sa sharab. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then says, terrible is that drink. Bi'sa sharab. Terrible is the drink. Wasa'at murtafaqa. And an evil murtafaq, right? How evil is the place of that fire in Jahannam that they will dwell. It's referring to the place of Jahannam, this place that, you know, the inhabitants of Jahannam will be. Then in verses number 30 to 31, the last two verses that we'll cover for today, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says,
إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ إِنَّا لَا نُضِيعُ أَجْرَ مَنْ أَحْسَنَ عَمَلًا أُولَئِكَ لَهُمْ جَنَّاتٌ عَدْنٍ تَجْرِي مِنْ تَحْتِهِمُ الْأَنْهَارُ يُحَلَّوْنَ فِيهَا مِنْ أَسَاوِرَ مِنْ ذَهَبٍ وَيَلْبَسُونَ ثِيَابًا خُضْرًا مِنْ سُنْدُسٍ وَإِسْتَبْرَقٍ متكئين فيها على الأرائك نعم الثواب وحسنت مرتفقا.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in verse number 30, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. Verily, as for those who believed and did righteous deeds, إِنَّا لَا نُضِيعُ أَجْرَ مَنْ أَحْسَنَ عَمَلًا. Certainly, we shall not make the reward of anyone be lost whose deeds were good, as in who did good deeds, in the most perfect manner. Allahu Akbar. Right? Believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and all that He has made necessary upon or advised us of in the land, and do good deeds. And what will we get in return? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then says, in part, He says, they will have Jannat wa Adn, right? They will have these gardens, Jannah, paradise, gardens that will last forever, right? Adn, eternally. They will be everlasting.
تَجْرِي مِن تَحْتِهِمُ الْأَنْهَارِ.
And underneath those gardens, there will be rivers that flow, right? Rivers that flow. So it's beautiful, lush gardens. And we know that, you know, when you think of the desert, it's dry and hot. But if water is flowing underneath the ground, then an oasis pops up and grows. And, you know, there's lots of goodness and lush greenery that comes from it. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reminding us that underneath, there will be a source that provides for that. So don't worry. It's going to keep going. It will last forever.
يحلون,
they will be adorned, as in the people, the inhabitants of Jannah, of those gardens in paradise, they themselves will be adorned with what?
يحلون فيها من أساور من ذهب.
They will be adorned or wearing bracelets of gold. Allahu Akbar. Can't wear the gold bracelets in this dunya, especially for the men, right? But in Jannah, the bracelets we have here, useless, right? It's not even pure. It's not in pure, pure, beautiful, real paradise, heavenly, divine gold. We get so amazed with the gold of this dunya. If you bring a book of gold in front of someone and you say, here, this is a gift for you, they'll be like, what? And we get so amazed. We like, our jaws drop like, huh? How could you afford this? You know, we'd be so amazed, like, this is precious, but it's of the dunya. Imagine the gold of the akhirah. Imagine the gold of Jannah. It won't be anything like the gold of this world, right? And we favor or we cherish gold so much because of the value and its wealth and its beauty. The color of it is just amazing. It glows and it's just fantastic. But imagine in Jannah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that we will be adorned with these bracelets of gold. And he says,
وَيَلْبَسُونَ ثِيَابًا خُضْرًا مِّن سُنْدُسٍ وَإِسْتَبْرَقٍ.
And they will wear green garments of sundus and istabrak. Sundus refers to a fine garment or cloth, like a shirt, right, that we'll be wearing, and it flows and it's beautiful. right? And remember, in Surah Al-Hajj, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that we will also be wearing lu'lu, وَلِيَاسُهُمْ فِيهَا حَرِيرٌ, and we will be wearing clothing of silk, right? Silk clothing. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, مُتَّكِئِينَ فِيهَا عَلَى الْأَرَائِكِ. So he, remember, he says, وَيَلْبَسُونَ ثِيَابًا, and we will be wearing these green garments, sundus, which is beautiful, fine garment, like a shirt, and istabrak. I didn't mention what that is. It is a thick, shiny velvet, right? It's like thick, shiny velvet. Kings of this dunya, we see them wearing these beautiful gowns and cloaks. In Jannah, we will be wearing like the most amazing clothing, subhanAllah, right? And I love clothing. My grandfather was actually a tailor. I've always loved clothing, subhanAllah, and different types of material and so on. And I like to wear tailor-made stuff. And you know what? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam loved clothing as well, from the things of this dunya that he loved, clothing, perfume, and so on and so forth. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, مُتَّكِئِينَ فِيهَا عَلَى الْأَرَائِكِ. They will be muttaki'in, therein, on ara'ik. So they will be laying down, right? Sitting down, cross-legged, relaxing themselves, right? Chilling, you're chilling with your friends, you got your feet up, you're just relaxing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says they will be laying down, relaxing, kicking back, على الأرائك, which is plural for أريكة, and this is a bed underneath a canopy. Oh, Allahu Akbar. Imagine that, right? How amazing it will be, right? Just think of you're chilling. For me, it's like, I remember this time I went to a beach in Penang in Malaysia, and my friend took me there. He's like, you're too stressed. You need a break. We went there just for a day. And we sat under a palm tree, and we had coconuts, actual coconuts, the top chopped off with a straw inside, and you're drinking out of the coconut. The sand is there, and the sun is setting, and there's this, uncle who's massaging our feet, and I was like, subhanallah, look at this, we're just relaxing and chilling, and we have these things of the dunya, and we're not really, enjoying luxury and wealth. It's simplicity, but it's happiness and joy. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows us, you'll have the best of things, and you'll still be able to chill and relax and enjoy and have some fun. And he then says, ni'ma thawab wa hasanat murtafaqa. How good is the reward, and what an excellent place of rest. Allahu Akbar. The best place to rest, paradise. So work hard in this dunya and rest in the akhirah. That's all the time that we have for today, my brothers and sisters. Jazakumullahu khairan wa barakallahu feekum wa sallallahu wa sallama wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallim. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa ant. Nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Remember, there are 10 minutes left for this day of Friday, and it's a time when dua is accepted, which is why I'm giving you this time. Please go make dua, and please remember me in your dua as well, and all your Muslim brothers and sisters and friends and family around the world. Barakallahu feekum. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.